This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Of course, being Father's Day, I can't help but think of my father. He went home to be with the Lord 41 years ago. He was a career man in the military. I don't need this anymore, but thank you for whoever brought it to me. I talk and think better when I'm moving. And as a career man, he encountered many people. And for the most part, as I was growing up, although he spent 2 years in Vietnam and 2 years in the Philippines, he was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, which is why I grew up in Tampa. And he didn't tell me this story until just before he died. But when I was a little boy, evidently, I was sick. You know, when you're a kid, you get sick with whatever comes along, and I was sick. And he was at work one day. My dad was a radar technician, and he'd become acquainted with one of the fighter pilots. Found out this gentleman was a Christian. And my dad liked to, he called himself a lapidaritist. No, it's not like a Baptist or Methodist, okay? He worked with rocks. He loved to make jewelry. He loved to get beautiful rock specimens and carve them and make things out of them. And because this gentleman was so friendly, and this gentleman was a Christian, and my dad was not what you would call a committed Christian at the time. But my dad happened to tell him, yeah, my son, he's not been feeling well. He's been having a difficult time. And he said that this pilot that he got to know, because he was a great guy, he said, I'll pray for your son. And so my dad was appreciative of that. So my dad had some jade that he had picked up, and he made him a little cross that he could keep in his pocket when he flew. He knew he was a Christian. And he gave it to the gentleman, and the gentleman said, I've been praying for your son, not only that God would heal him, but my dad told me he had been praying for me that God would use him one day. So I can't help but wonder, if I'm here today doing what God seems to want me to do, can I look back and thank my dad and that pilot for that? Never underestimate dads, moms, whoever, your prayers and those who pray for your children. Because my dad initially opposed me going to Bible college. He didn't want me to go in the ministry. But just before he died, he told me that story one night in a truck as he picked me up from work. And he said, son, I think you are doing what now God has called you to do. And just a few months later, he passed away. So dads do have an impact. One thing about my dad, he was a dad who grew up in the Depression. He was born in 1929, lived through the Depression. He was a hillbilly in Beckley, West Virginia. Didn't have much, didn't have really anything. But when he got older and grew up and joined the military, got married, had kids, like most dads, he wanted his kids to have better than he had. Maybe your dad said that, you heard your dad or you heard somebody else's. They want your kids, you know, I want my kids to have better than I had. My dad grew up in the Depression. It was tough. And he was a sergeant in the Air Force, and we weren't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but we had enough. We were fine. We didn't get everything we wanted when we wanted it, but we had enough. But at Christmas time, my dad would lavish us with gifts. Not for birthdays necessarily. He didn't go out and buy us things all the time. Matter of fact, if we wanted something, we had to earn it or wait for it. But at Christmas time, and I once asked him, Dad, why do you do so much at Christmas? He said, because the only Christmas present I ever got as a child was a pair of my own socks that my aunt darned and fixed for me. Depression. He said, I wanted you to have something to remember. You know, as I said earlier, our greatest example of fatherhood is our Heavenly Father. Gentlemen, as we seek to raise and continue to love and father our children, He must be our example. As we watch Him father His people, as He fathers the children of Israel and the church of Jesus Christ, He is the example we should follow. And just like earthly dads, but more so, good earthly dads want to do the best they can for their kids. And our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy the riches of His grace. And that's what the book of Ephesians is about. The book of Ephesians, as Paul writes it, by the way, from a Roman prison, reminds us of all the blessings that we have at our disposal. God, through Paul, wants us to know all the things and all the riches and all the grace that our Heavenly Father has afforded us as His children. And that's why the book of Ephesians was written first to the church at Ephesus and then passed to the different churches of the day. See, because as we live our lives, we get so caught up and enamored with the junk of the world, the experiences, the trinkets, that we forget that by Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we literally have more than we can ever imagine or hope for at our disposal. The riches of grace. And the thing that we need to do is we need to live like that is real. It's a shame we oftentimes walk around hangdog and downcast, when in reality is children of Almighty God, princes and princesses of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have everything available to us. And I'm not talking about a health, wealth gospel, not one of those yin-yangs on television. No, no. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. We're going to see some of those as we go through this book. We're going to be excited about it. This morning, we're going to talk about the fact that God has blessed us to the praise of His glory. God wants us to glorify Him, not because God is in need of glory. He's not. God needs nothing. We bring glory and we bring magnification to God. As the theme of VBS pointed out, we are to magnify or enlarge God in our viewpoint and the viewpoint of others. We are to do that so that not only will we seek Him more fervently, but that others around us will see God in us as we magnify Him and as we glorify Him and find Him as well. That's why God blesses us. That's why God provides for us. And so all through the book of Ephesians, you're going to be hearing about blessings and riches and wealth and being heirs to God. And it's just an interesting word, this word blessing. What does it mean? Well, as we think of a definition for the word blessing, as I prayed about it and looked at it, this is the one I came up with. Blessing is that state of being wherein the creature of God, and that's you and I, creations or creatures of God. The blessing is the state of being wherein the creature of God, living in such an enlightened and obedient way, enlightened by His truth and obedient to it, tangibly realizes and experiences God's grace, God's gifts, and God's guidance. Blessings aren't brownie points. Blessings aren't bonuses. Living a blessed life literally is a life that is surrendered and obedient to the Word of God. It's walking in the pathway which God has charted out for us. We suffer struggle sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we suffer loss, we suffer grief because we veer and vary from God's guidance. And if we would just walk with Him in obedience and glorify Him with our lives, we will begin to experience in a tangible way the gifts, the grace, and the guidance of God. Unfortunately and sadly, we miss out on that. So as we begin to unpack the book of Ephesians, we're going to begin in chapter 1 and verse 1, because the beginning is a good place to start. And here in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul opens this with his typical salutation. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. What is an apostle? An apostle is one sent with a commission from the lips of Christ to the ear of the apostle. Paul received his commission when he got saved on the road to Damascus from the very lips of Christ to his ear. And that's why we have no more apostles today. because it was a group of men that was chosen then. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Who are the saints in Ephesus? They're the believers. The word saint in the Greek there is the word hagio. It's a derivative of hagiazo in the Greek. It literally means holy. The words saint, sanctified, holy, holiness in the New Testament are interchangeable. They all come from the same Greek word. So if you're here this morning and you're a believer in Christ, you know Christ as Savior, guess what? You're a saint. You don't have to wait for somebody in Rome to canonize you. You don't have to wait for somebody up in some high tower to remember you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you are a saint. You've been set apart, sanctified, made holy by God through faith in Him. By the way, doesn't it make sense to live according to that? He then says in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's opening this letter. This is a typical Pauline introduction. And now he's going to talk about, and we saw this in the overview last week, the blessings provided by God. And we're going to see that the entire Godhead, the triunity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, all working hard for our benefit. Years ago, I went to go have my license renewed at the DMV in Kannapolis. That's a fun place, isn't it? And I went in there, and sure enough, I thought, I'll get there real early. I got there at 8 o'clock, and there were 6,000 people there. Not that many, but there were a bunch of people, and I was one of the many. And I knew that was coming, so I got my iPad, I got my phone, and wherever I have my iPhone and my iPad, I'm in office because I've got everything I need in here. So I figured I'm going to hunker down, wait however many hours it's going to take, I'm going to get this license. So I'm studying and doing my thing. And I've told you this story before, long story short, the computers in Raleigh were down. And so they kept telling us, only be a few minutes. They'd come out an hour later. Oh, we're going to still be late. And one by one, everybody started cussing and filing out. But I was there for the long haul. I had already committed an hour or two there. And bless God, I was getting my driver's license one way or another renewed that day. So after about 2.5 hours, I'm sitting there. I'm working on whatever message I was working on. And all of a sudden, I look up and there was nobody else in the room. And the lady walks up to me and she says, sir, our computers are up. And then she said, sweetheart, you come with me. Sweetheart. And I go back there and all these DMV people, you know what they look like. They are always severe with their gray and bluish uniform on. And usually they look at you like they could kill you in a minute. And they don't want you there. But I walked in there, and all these severe-looking ladies that are, they were like my aunts. They were like, oh, honey, come here. One lady came up and said, sir, would you like some coffee or some water? Sure. And then another lady came up and said, sweetheart, dear, you sit down and let's get your picture. Your hair sure looks pretty today. I was looking for Rod Serling. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. And another lady came up and said, sir, I just want to make sure you... And they were all of them, because I was the only person there. And these people were sweet, these DMV ladies. They were all of a sudden different. And they, you know, I'm a low-vision driver. Nobody wants to ride with me, I know that. But I haven't heard anybody. But they said, oh, we're going to call Raleigh and make sure your license goes through. And she sat down and she got... And I watched that woman argue with them. And I walked out with my driver's license and a smile. And I'm surprised I didn't have a plate of brownies with me. But you know what was interesting? They all helped me. They all dove in, and I was the focus of their attention. Here's the reality, y'all. You are the focus of God's attention. The full triunity of God is zeroed in on you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Three in one, one in three. We don't have time to unpack the teaching of the Trinity this morning. Just know this, that you have the attention of God. If that itself is not a blessing, I don't know what is. The world's going to forget you. The people are, if I go to the DMV tomorrow, it's not going to be the same. As a matter of fact, you go into your doctor's office and you sometimes feel like you're forgotten while you're waiting. But God is focused on you. Not God, just God the Father, but all three persons in the triunity of God. Let's look at that. Let's kind of unravel this. First of all, in verse 3, Paul begins to iterate. We saw this verse last week, but he begins to tell us about our blessings. Notice what he says in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So there's the meat of the book. There's the statement of the book of Ephesians. And literally, there's the statement of God's desire for you and I. He goes on to say, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, same word as saint, hagiazo, hagio, that we might be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory. That's an important phrase, because you'll see it repeated three times. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are blessed by God, and we realize that this whole aspect of our salvation and sanctification was God's plan. You know, people ask the question, well, why did God create a world with sinfulness and evil? And why did God give Adam and Eve the choice to eat of the fruit and sin in the garden? Why didn't he just take that tree out and let everybody go on? Because God didn't want to create a perfect world. He created a perfect way for us to come to God. Oh, he could have programmed everybody. He could have kept that tree out of the garden and just programmed everybody to love him. But when you program or pick somebody to love you, it's not real love. I have one of those Alexa devices in my office. I get the weather reports. I get definitions. I use it. And I can go in there. I can program that thing to say, Pastor Mike, I love you. You're so handsome. I can get that thing to lie. I can program that thing. And it might make me feel good for the first day or two, but it's simply programmed. It's not real. See, true love comes when one is chosen to be loved. So the plan of God was to choose us so that we might choose him. Notice he says we are chosen for his holiness, having predestined us to adoption. Now, what does that mean, he was chosen? You know, I like to illustrate this because this is a deep theological concept, this idea of predestination and foreknowledge and those kinds of things. There's a lot of confusion out there, which is unnecessary. Because, you know, the idea is to read the Bible plainly and clearly. So when I think of when I read this passage and I look at these words and I understand as I put together the whole picture of Scripture, I usually try to illustrate it this way. Suppose one of the local car dealerships decided to have a hot dog supper. Some of them do that to show off the new models and to try to sell you anything. And if you go in there, they'll say, you know, here's a hot dog, chips, and a drink for $5. Or, you know, even our church has done that before. Hot dog, chips, and drink, $5. So if you go there, that's what you get. A hot dog, chips, and drink. Pay your $5. Happy day. But let's say as they were planning that and advertising it, let's say the muckety-mucks and the heads got together and said, look, I'm looking at Miss Ann now, okay? Let's say that she's wearing yellow. And suppose they got together and said, here's what we can do, just have some fun. Everybody that's wearing yellow that comes in for a hot dog chip, we'll give them their meal for free. So Ann would eat for free. Let's see, so would Eddie, and we got a few more people wearing yellow shirts. And so anybody that comes in, they didn't advertise it, but they said anybody that comes in with a yellow shirt, a yellow blouse, anybody that comes in wearing yellow, they eat for free. And so they come in, and Ann and Eddie and whoever else goes in, and they start to yours are free. You were chosen to get a free meal. Interesting. They made a choice. Give them a free meal if they're wearing yellow. But understand, they didn't call them and tell them to wear yellow. They didn't say, you're wearing yellow today. They chose to bless those wearing yellow. In the whole scheme of things with God in eternity past, He didn't create a perfect world. He created a perfect way. And one of the things that God decided to do is He chose to save all who would believe. Now, that doesn't mean God makes you believe. That is your choice. But once you're saved, you are part of the chosen because He chose to save them that believe. Where do you get that, Pastor? Well, there's a great verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:21. It says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world, through the wisdom did not know God, but yet it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So in a real sense, God didn't just pick out individuals for heaven and pick out individuals for hell. No. When He talks about choosing them to the praise of His glory, choosing them to holiness, God chose in eternity past to save those that would believe. If you are a believer, you are chosen. You can use the word elect. God elected to save the believer. If you believed, you were chosen. You were elected. You're part of the elect. And so that is not necessarily a big mystery, but understand this. You are chosen for holiness. Believing and receiving Christ isn't just a ticket to heaven. It's not just fire insurance. We like to use those cute little phrases. But believing on Christ is also a way of having a relationship with God so that we might give Him honor and glory as we are set apart for His good pleasure. We are to live as holy people. We are to live as saints. We're called saints. And positionally speaking in Christ, we are saints. Well, then bless God, we should live like it's real. And He saved us not just so we can skip hell, but also so we could glorify Him, give Him praise, give Him honor, magnify Him, so others might see Christ in us and come to know Him. That's the whole point. That's the point of our holiness. Not only does it give Him honor because He is God, but it also is a signpost. He predestined those who would believe to adoption. To adoption. What does that mean? It means that you and I, through faith in Christ, have been literally adopted into God's family. He chose to adopt all those who would believe. That's why we talk about being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12 says, for as many as believed on Him, He gave the power, the authority to become the sons and daughters, the children of God. So if you're a believer, listen, you're adopted into God's family. You know, there was a comic strip years ago, I don't know if it's still out or not, called Little Orphan Annie. And it was a story about a child raised up in an orphanage. Her parents had died, and rough and difficult orphanage in New York. They made a couple of movies about it. But she was adopted by Daddy Warbucks, one of the wealthiest men in the country, according to the thing. And she had all the riches of Daddy Warbucks at her disposal, and she was adopted. Adoption's a wonderful thing. Adoption's a great thing. God bless those who adopt children. Amen. Who bring them into their family and raise them as their own. That's what God did for you and I. If you're a believer, you've been adopted into the family of God through faith in Christ. Not only that, but we are accepted to the praise of His glory. Notice it says, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. You know, there's not a lot of people that are willing to accept us for what we are today. There's not a lot of people who look at us and say, oh, you're great, you're wonderful. Not sometimes we have people who don't like us. It's the way life is, isn't it? There are some communities and groups that either want us or they don't. We may not feel like we're famous enough, wealthy enough, rich enough, whatever. But here's the thing. Because of God's deep and rich love, you are accepted by Him. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what this world thinks. As long as you're accepted by God, who cares what the neighbor says? Who cares what your coworkers think? Who cares what that uppity up person in your life thinks? Listen, as a believer in Christ, you are part of God's family. Adopted, chosen before the foundation of the world as a believer to give him honor to the praise of his glory. God the Father. God the Father was involved. That was his plan to save us and to adopt us and to make us holy and righteous for his glory and accept us into his family. Not only that, but it involves God the Son. As we continue to as we continue down to the next verse in verse 7, we're going to talk about the fact that we are also purchased by the Son of God. Look at the involvement of God the Son. It says in verse 7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. What is redemption? The word to redeem in the original Greek and also in English means to buy out or to buy back. If you go to Food Lion and you have a coupon for Duke's mayonnaise, maybe it's a free jar and you want to get that free jar of Duke's mayonnaise, you take that coupon, give it to the cashier, and you bought out that jar of mayonnaise. You and I were sold to the slave market of sin. We were sold to the world through our sin. And Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, bought us out of that slave market, bought us out of the pathway to hell, bought us into the kingdom of God. You went from being out in the darkness to being brought back into light. You became children of Almighty God, who has redeemed us through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according, look at this, to the riches of his grace. Here again, we are recipients of the riches of his grace, which is made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. We just saw back in 1 Corinthians, what was God's plan? What was God's good pleasure? To save them by the foolishness of preaching that believe. That will has been revealed to us in Jesus. If you want to know the heart and mind of God for your life, look to Christ. Not only as Savior, but as Lord and King after you get saved. Jesus is to be the focus of our lives. He goes on to say in verse 10 that the dispensation, that literally that word means economy, house law, that the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, the economy of God literally is fulfilled in Christ and in our faith in him, so that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So here's the thing. Notice, first of all, he bought us. If you're a believer, he bought and paid for you. And the price was his own broken body and shed blood. You are valued, even though sometimes we feel not valuable. Sometimes we feel like we don't count, we don't matter. Maybe to some people in this world that could be true. But to Almighty God, we matter so much that he gave his life for us. I don't know, that's a reason to celebrate as far as I'm concerned. He not only bought us, but one day he's going to gather us together. We're going to go and live with him for all eternity. Yes, heaven is part of that salvation. Yes, one day we will ascend into heaven and be with Christ forever. I don't know about you, but that's also something exciting to get excited about. It's a cool thing. We are redeemed for his glory. Look as we finish this passage. In him also, verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him. Again, predestined means he literally chose to save those who believe. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Second time that phrase comes up. We were saved to glorify him. We were saved so that he might receive glory, so that the world might look upon us and want what we want. Let me ask you a question. As you go through your day at your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, whatever, can you say that people are watching you and thinking, man, I want what he has. I want what she has. Are we magnifying the wealth and inheritance we've been given? Are we living to the praise of his glory? We need to live like it's real. So God's plan involves God the Father. Not only God the Father, but God the Son is focused on us. He bought us. One day He's going to gather us, and we will live to the praise of His glory forever. But yes, the Holy Spirit is involved as well. And the Bible says once we're saved, we're preserved by God the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, in Him also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, notice this next line, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here it is, believer. Once you're saved, you've trusted Christ, you're safe. You can't lose your salvation. God's not going to take it away from you. Why? Because you're sealed with the Spirit of God, in whom you trusted Christ. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God came to indwell in you, and you've been sealed by Him, and you're safe. Oh, but Pastor, what if I sin? Oh, but Pastor, what if I walk away? God will deal with you as a parent deals with a child. Again, He's our Father. And yes, God can discipline. God can chastise. And I hate saying this, but according to 1 John chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, we see 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there are times when God says, you know what, you've done enough, I'm going to bring you home. There are times in my life growing up that my dad said, come home. Oh boy, I'm going to heaven. No, I mean, you know, yeah, you're going to heaven, but it's not going to be exciting because God's going to deal with you. God deals with us as a parent deals with a child, in whom you also trusted. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who, notice this, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Interesting word, this word guarantee. It's from the Greek word arabon. And it literally means engagement ring. You know, when you get engaged, when you got engaged, you're going to get engaged. Part of the thing is when you decide, yep, I'm going to marry you, you're going to marry me, you put on an engagement ring. That tells everybody around you that relationship is now sealed, or at least it's supposed to. Funniest thing I ever saw, I don't know if it's the funniest or the saddest, but Susan and I were walking by a jewelry store and it said, engagement rings to rent. Ladies, if you're walking with a guy and he wants to marry you and he takes you in with that sign, walk out. Okay, engagement rings to rent. All right, but no, the engagement ring. It's still the word used by Greek speakers today to refer to the engagement. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit of God and you became engaged to God. And that one day, the Bible says in Revelation, that we will be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb as the bride of Christ. Isn't that cool? And that's you and I. Sealed with God's Spirit. We don't have to worry. We are preserved by God. And notice what it says. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, again, one day He's going to gather you and I up home to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. So here's the thing. The whole plan of God is focused on you and I. The Godhead is focused on you and I. God the Father, God the Son, focused on you and I. The plan of God the Father in eternity past is to save those that believe. No, He didn't create a perfect world, but He created a perfect way through Christ and faith in Him. We are accepted for the praise of His glory. It involves God the Son. We are purchased by God the Son. We are redeemed by God the Son. He bought us. One day He will gather us, and we are redeemed for the praise of His glory. And it's that way with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is involved in your salvation. Once you got saved, He came in to live inside of you. He is not going to leave. You've been sealed with Him. He is your guarantee, your engagement ring. We heard the truth, we believe the gospel, and now we are sealed to God's glory. Because God doesn't back out of a deal. These are the blessings. This is the attention that God has placed upon you and I. But it's amazing, we'll seek after fame. You know, people want to get online now and become influencers. We want to have our 15 minutes of fame. We want people to like us. We get on our social media and we make sure that people are hitting that like button. I want them to come up with an emoji that says, "Are you out of your mind?" But they haven't done that yet. Probably is a good thing they don't, because I would use it too much and people would use it on me. We are so longing to be accepted, so longing to be loved. And the reality is we are. We are accepted. We are loved. And it's not just a concept. It was demonstrated on the cross. And you and I are princes and princesses of God, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit looked down at you and said, "I love you, and I want to save you." Glory to God. That's how it works. So, you know, we talk about wanting the best for our families, the best for our kids, especially us dads. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with wanting the best. The question is, what is the best? Is it just trinkets, material possessions, prestige? Here's the thing, dads. If you and I want to be the dad God needs us to be, we need to make sure that our kids understand that through their heavenly Father, they have the best of what God wants to give them. Because let me leave you with this quote from C.S. Lewis. He said this. He said, "He who has God and many other things has no more than he who has God alone." Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, standing together as we finish. As believers, we are so richly blessed by God. And we are the center of the attention of Almighty God. He is the center of the universe, but we are His focus, His creation. And He has provided for us everything that we could ever want or need for eternity. God the Father planned it before the creation of the universe to save them that believe, to adopt believers into His family, to the praise of His glory. Not only that, but God the Son, acting upon that, purchased the salvation of all who would believe. And one day He will gather us to Himself. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," John 14, "I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." To the praise of His glory. And God the Spirit, until that time of gathering, the moment we were saved, God sealed us with His Spirit. Marked us off. We are His. And the Spirit has been given to us now. He lives in us as believers now as a guarantee, as an engagement ring to the bride of Christ, the church, all who believe. If you have the Lord, you've got all that you need. Doesn't matter whether you have the biggest car, biggest house, nicest job, biggest family. Social media has ruined our perspective. If you've got God, you've got it all. We need to live like that. We need to live with that joy, that celebration, thankful to God, our Father, for loving us truly, to the praise of His glory. If you don't know Christ, I beg you to trust Him. Place your faith in Him. Come to Him with brokenness, emptiness, and fall on the nail-scarred feet of Jesus, placing your full confidence and faith in Him as your Savior. You can't save yourself. Religion's not going to save you. Trust Jesus as your Savior. If you'll trust Him and Him alone, God right now, this moment, will save you. You can do it right now, right here. Trust Him as your Savior. And then God will give you and open the vaults of heaven, maybe not in material things, but in eternal spiritual blessings. But to you believers, what about it? Are we living like all of this stuff is real? Or is this just a pretty religious book we like to look at every once in a while? That, of course, is up to you and me. And we make that choice every day. Father, Lord God, we are blessed to be in this place this morning. Father, thank you again for the fathers who are present. Thank you for their hard work. None of us are perfect. We struggle. We make mistakes. But Father, thank you that through your word, you give us an example of what fatherhood should be. Focused on your children. Buying them out of issues through our lives. Investing our lives into our children. And holding them close and sealing them as ours. Help me to be the kind of father I need to be, Lord, even though my kids are grown. And Lord, help me to live as though everything I just read was real, because it is. Bless this day. Bless these dads. We do pray for those who are mourning the loss of their dad. I miss my dad. But Lord, I know my dad finally received Christ as his Savior toward the end of his life. And I'll be with him one day. Thank you. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.